I'm finding that God is continually drawing me back to topics that I've shared in the past. And that isn't because we've run out of things to say, and so we're starting over. So don't hold your breath there. We're not starting all over. But it is interesting how that God will bring you back to things from the past. And I struggle with that sometimes. Well, I've preached on that before. I actually had two messages I could have used today that I think would have been good content for the church. But once again, as I said last Sunday, this just keeps coming to me. And I always say, Lord, what's your voice? Do you know you have to sort out the voices? There's a million voices. You got to sort through that. A million voices want to confuse you, trouble you, take you in wrong directions. In a busy, busy world, you got to figure out a way to hone in on the Lord's voice. You got to figure out a way to do Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You got to figure out a way to do it. There's always grace to do the right thing. Some say, oh, you don't know my life. I can't do that. There's always grace to do the right thing. God wants us to do the right thing. Yours may be totally different than mine because of the season life you're in, and many of you in family raising years, and those are busy times. But I found that if I really wanted the pearl of great price, that it would always work out to have some time with God. And my time is morning. Everybody's different. Got to have your time with God. On Tuesday of this week, even though I had a couple other things in mind, one message was on my voice memo on my phone that I had recorded a bunch of things regarding the will of God, and another one regarding being exceptional at the little things in life and how that's a powerful witness in our communities and a very practical message. And I think that would be a good message for us at some point. But on Tuesday, God began speaking to me, offended at Jesus, offended at Jesus, offended at Jesus. The goal of the devil is to get you offended at Jesus in some way. That's the goal of the enemy. Many of you have started out great commitment to the Lord, left a life with a lot of baggage and stuff, troublesome stuff in your lives. That's awesome. But then as you move along and kind of get through the honeymoon stage of your walk with the Lord, and at first, boy, this is a new thing. I'm making some new friends. I'm going to church, and there can be some real juices flowing with that. But then the sun comes out. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed? The sun comes out, and it gets hot in the kitchen, and there's some trials. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I couldn't tell you the number of times I see some anyway. Thank you. I've seen a number of times when people would come up and say, Pastor, I don't know what's happened. It's like the bottom fell out. Because the enemy wants to put the pressure on us. We live in a cursed world. In the world, you will have tribulation, phlipsis, the Greek word. Trials, pressures, difficulties. And the sun comes out. And boy, it's easy in that time if you don't have roots and you're not serious and your heart really isn't in this thing and you've just turned over a new leaf, but it hasn't really been a heart change. Boy, it's easy to wither up under the pressure. The goal of the enemy is to get us offended at Jesus. And don't know for sure what way I'm going to go this morning with this. That's the way God's been leading me in preaching. I just more have a title. And then I jot down some things on a legal pad and usually end up don't use most of them. Offended at Jesus. And I want to read from John chapter 11. And this is a powerful passage of scripture. John chapter 11. And I've got some key verses up here. I think I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with verse 1, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. John chapter 11, now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one that had poured perfume on the Lord and had wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. I think I actually have the King James Version up here. I'm reading from NIV, but Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was for 2 more days. Interesting. Good friends with Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus, close friend. He loved them. They called on him in time of need. The one who you love is sick. Would you have gone right over? The morning my mother died, in the middle of the snowstorm, phone rang. Always concerned when it rings in the night. Went to the phone quickly. Faint voice on the phone. Could you please come over? Absolutely, right now. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was for 2 more days. Then, after those 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you. And yet you're going to go there? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? And a man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. And after he had said that to them, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to go wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. And Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside and said that Jesus is here. And he's asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And I'm going to jump down to verse 32. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and said, where have you laid him? And they said, come and see. Jesus wept. And they said, see how he loved him. Now, most people would think it was a crime to read this far and not go ahead and read the raising of Lazarus. I'm not going to. But this chapter goes on, some of you that the Bible is new to, this chapter goes on to say that Jesus went to the tomb and told him to roll away the stone. And they said, well, he smells. He's been in there for 4 days. And Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And I've always loved it. People said the reason he shouted, Lazarus, come forth toward that tomb was because if he hadn't said his name and looked directly at that tomb, every person that had ever died would have come out of the grave. Jesus' name above all names. And that's an awesome thought. And it would be real easy for me to have an ADD morning and run off about the resurrection. But I want to talk about being offended at Jesus. I want to talk about the first part of the story. But I do want to say one thing about Lazarus. Have you ever noticed in Scripture, and some people miss this? This is just a little exit ramp, then I'll come back. Have you ever noticed in the passage, in future chapters, it says that they wanted to kill Lazarus? Have you noticed that? Some people have missed that. But there's a place that said that they wanted to kill, now he'd been raised from the dead, but they wanted to kill Lazarus. You know why they wanted to kill Lazarus? Because he was undeniable proof. He was undeniable proof. Oh, we could try to explain away the feeding of the 5,000, and we could try to explain away the walking on water, even though we know it's true, because there were just a few of the disciples there, and maybe they made it up. We could try to explain away the turning water to wine, and we could have our explanation, but people were all gathered from Jerusalem at the home of Mary and Martha, and Jesus waited and let all the grievers come. And then he shouted, "Lazarus, come forth," and they said, "Don't open that tomb, he smells." And they went ahead and opened it anyway, and he came out in grave clothes, and after Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come forth," and they said, "Loose him and let him go." He was undeniable proof. You know why the devil is after you? Because you're undeniable proof. There are people sitting here this morning. Everybody in this county knows what your life has been in the past. And they're shocked out of their wits that you're going to church. Plus, they ran into you and they say, "I think he is different." When I became a pastor after getting kicked out of Peru High School and being a very bitter young man, we had people visit the church to see if it was really true I was a pastor. They said, "I'm going to go and see if he really is a pastor." You're undeniable proof. I always pick on Vince because he's on staff and that's safe. Vince, you're undeniable proof. I saw you on the front of the Peru Tribune. Your brother brought it in the staff meeting, Rick. Your precious brother, that's his acoustic guitar. That's why I love playing that guitar. That's Rick's. And Vince lets me use it. And I ask him to will it to me, but I don't know if I'm going to get it. I love that guitar. That's Rick's. Rick was my assistant. Rick would come in. Kathy, remember, he'd come in to staff meeting. And he came in one morning and said, "Have you seen the paper?" And I said, "No." And he held it in front of me. And on the front page was Vince Darlin arrested for manufacturing meth. And he said, "We got to pray for my brother." I never dreamed in the farthest stretches of my imagination that in a few years, Rick would be with the Lord and go on and be taken to be with the Lord, and Vince would be our addictions pastor. Don't you think for one second the devil doesn't want to destroy Vince because he's undeniable proof. You know, I hear people say things like, when I say who our addictions pastor is, they say, "Well, I used to buy off that guy." Excuse me. "I used to buy off that guy." Kevin Smith, you're undeniable proof. I pick on the people that let me pick on them. I'm not trying to leave anybody out. Don't you get discouraged working in a factory where day in and day out you're bombarded. You're undeniable proof that God can change lives. I hear people say it, and I could go on and on and on and on. I'm not singling out or glorifying anybody. Lazarus was undeniable proof. What are you going to say? There he stands. Hundreds of people probably in a very short time. If they didn't that many see it, they heard about it briefly. So that's just the exit ramp. Couldn't pass that up. Undeniable proof. Now, why does the devil want to get you offended at Jesus? Because he knows that if you continue to surrender like you're doing, and you continue to walk with God, that you will become undeniable proof. Can I say one more name without getting in trouble? Kevin and Vince have both given me permission. Can I? I'll look over at her and see if I can. She's nodding. Brandy, you're undeniable proof. Most people faced with what you've been faced with would have said, I can't do this. You're undeniable proof. The devil will try to take you out. There's a bullseye on your back. And there's a bullseye on mine because I'm saying this. And I'm trying to encourage you. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we don't want to just do this little "now I lay me down to sleep" thing. We want prayer warriors. Are you with me? Have you seen the sign out in the foyer? We don't want to live in a community where you just hear a church bell. And I live in a community where you just hear the church bell, and I love that. And I thank God for it many times. I'm not belittling that. We want to snatch people before they get into hell. And some of you have been to hell and back. Some of you have been to hell and back. If we go through the tribulation period, and I believe we're going to, I want to go through it with this bunch. Because they got nothing to lose. They already almost died a dozen times. So if they can die for the Lord, it's going to be a privilege. You with me? Undeniable proof. So the enemy is out to discourage you, to defeat you, and cause you to become offended at Jesus. Because he does not want to see you become undeniable proof. I spoke on that tiny little two-letter word, so, S-O. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Let your light so shine. You've come out of ugly lifestyles and more baggage than Samsonite. And you're doing a new thing, and people are looking on with skepticism, and the devil wants to destroy you and cause you to become offended at Jesus. What do we mean, offended? In John 6, last time I preached on this, that was the text I used. Don't need to read it. I think I do have. Yes, in John 6, if you want to write it down, it's there. I'm just going to highlight this for a second, tie it in. Jesus talked about a heavy thing. In fact, when he got done, I'm almost hesitant at times, and I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be at Scripture. All Scripture is given of God and inspired. But I'm almost hesitant in a world of vampire thinking and all that to even say and all the things that go on in our ugly, sinful world. But Jesus hit him with something really heavy, and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't. And they even said, that's a hard saying. What's that about? Well, there's a lot can be said from that, and of course, communion can be tied in and all of that. But what I want to say to you today is that to partake of his flesh is this, and this is a part of it. Please don't assume, oh, that's the whole meaning. There's a lot in that, but I believe many things can be drawn from it, but the thing that I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit, I believe, this morning to emphasize to you is that partaking of his flesh means that in the flesh, which is our earthly bodies, we're going to partake. If we're serious about this thing, we're going to partake of some of his sufferings. Are you with me? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. Through the blood, we have redemption. We have changed heart. We have home in heaven. We have the fulfillment of all the promises. So there's a lot in this, and I'm not, that isn't the topic. But one thing I draw from it is to his flesh, partake of his flesh. Yes, communion is tied in, but there's a yet another thought, and that is in partaking of his flesh, he's saying you're going to participate in some difficult things in following me. Stay with me. They said, this is a hard saying, and who can receive it? And it's interesting, he said, does this offend you? In John 6, does this offend you? And then there's a sad, sad verse, and it's verse 66 of John 6. Interesting. Chapter 6, verse 66. From this time, many turn back and walk no longer with him. From this time, many said, you know what? I didn't know what I was getting into here. Boy, this taking up the cross, that thing gets heavy. I've often wondered what's the saddest verse in the Bible. I think probably the saddest verse in the Bible is in Genesis. Adam, where art thou? I think that's probably the saddest verse in the Bible. Because God made Adam to live in bliss and to live eternally in fellowship, and he went wayward. And that was the fall of mankind. And probably the saddest verse in the Bible is, Adam, where art thou? But this one's right up there. From this time on, many walk no more with him. Oh, Lord, I thought this was all going to be loaves and fishes. I thought this thing was all going to be fun and games. I thought this was all going to be banana splits and fudge sundaes. This is a hard saying, but there's some cross to carry. There's some denial. But in carrying that cross and participating, partaking in the flesh, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and redemption, you become undeniable proof. When I am tried, I will come forth as gold. You become undeniable proof. But many were offended at him and walked no more with him. All right, let's get real practical. Offended at Jesus. Offended at Jesus. Angry at God. A barrier with you and God. We understand from Scripture that no man comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. No man can come to God unless the Spirit draws him. When we put up that wall of resistance, when the devil brings those things or a product of our cursed world or even some consequences of our own making, there's a barrier between us and him. Number one, seemingly unfair circumstances. How many have become offended at Jesus when there were seemingly unfair circumstances? Lord, why did this happen? I remember standing in the ashes after a year of cancer and 5 months, most of which of that 5 months was in the hospital, and being trashed emotionally from chemotherapy and the strongest that they give. The last treatment they gave me, series of treatments they called high dose in March of 06. Before they released me, they gave me high dose. I had submitted to Dr. Schultz, even though I felt in my own heart that God had touched me through your prayers and anointing. High dose, the treatment was so strong that between treatments, they would come in and test me neurologically, have me get up and walk a line, make sure I wasn't. They were worried about brain damage because of the extent of the treatment. It left me trashed emotionally. I remember at Skinner Chapel one morning, coming in to practice music, trying to get back in the swing of things in May. And I remember, and some of you were present there and couldn't help it. I remember after practice just starting to sob and cry down on the floor, down from the platform there on the west side of the sanctuary. And I remember falling to the floor and kind of curling up like an embryo and just starting sobbing and crying. And I don't even know what was wrong except that I was just a result of the chemo and treatments. I was emotionally trashed. I shared last week about my horse and the story in the message, Forgive Cody. And I think if you weren't here, that could be a helpful message. But I talked about how I didn't feel at home. I felt misplaced. And after going through 5 months and all of that, I'm going somewhere with this. The devil tempted me to be offended at Jesus as I stood in the ashes of our house. For our house burnt in August. Finished treatment in April. The house burnt in August. So it was the same fiscal year. And that's a lot in 1 year. And I remember the night of the fire, relatives were all stopping, or neighbors rather, were all stopping in, and some of you from the church were coming over, and everybody had heard about a fire, and of course it lit up the sky, and people were coming over, and everybody was offering to help, and you're kind of running on adrenaline, you know. Went over and stayed at Tom and Trisha's that night all night, and the next morning went over, and I remember being there alone and walking around in the ashes of the living room. And the enemy likes to come along at that point, when you just finished cancer treatment and now the house is burnt down, and say, well, if God is faithful, You've sung, "Great is thy faithfulness," for years. Where is he this morning? You can get offended at Jesus. Let me tell you something. The ultimate goal of the devil is to offend you at Jesus. And if he can get that job done, he knows you're dead in the water, your growth is over. Oh, God doesn't quit loving you. God will spend the rest of his life reaching out to you, and he'll send people to you with messages like this morning. Because God so loved the world. It isn't God pulled away. Well, God left me, no. It isn't that God pulled away. It's that we've sealed off the still small voice of the Holy Spirit by closing the door. And one thing you need to figure out about God right now is that he's a gentleman. God does not kick doors open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him. I love the second half of that verse. He ain't saying, I ain't just going to pop in and say hello. We're going to sit down. That sup word of the Old English in the King James Version, that's a fellowship time. That's a time, Jason, where you're hanging out with God and you feel like he's your best friend. He wants that relationship. Nice to have you here this morning. God isn't in the business of kicking doors down. The devil will drive you to do things you never dreamed you'd do. How many of you, where you were out in sin, ended up doing something you never thought you'd do? Anybody? Uh-huh. Didn't take long for hands to go up on that. Oh, yeah. I did things I thought I was way too smart. If you'd have told me, I said, no, they'll never get me into that. Oh, yeah, that was a dumb statement. I went over the falls. The devil will drive you to do things you never thought you'd do because he's a driver. He's a driver. You got this false sense you're free because you're out in front. Mm-hmm. Good word picture. You got this false sense you're free because you're out in front and I get to be in charge. No, he's back there pulling the strings, deceiving, luring you this way, luring you that way. He's a driver and he'll drive you and you'll do things you never dreamed you'd do. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's come this way. Here is the way, walk ye in it. Well, I'm going to go that way. Oh, here's the way, walk in it. No. Then the voice gets a little softer because we've thickened the callus. Here's the way, come this way. No, nobody's going to tell me. Here's the way, come this way. The voice gets softer because we thicken the callus and we harden our heart. And then we get to a place where we say, I just don't hear God anymore. God seemed far away. Guess who moved? God never quits loving us. But the devil is out to offend us at Jesus. And standing in those ashes that morning, I remember very vividly the enemy trying to challenge me and running songs I had sung through my head. Yeah. Songs through my head. Amazing love. Where is he this morning? And it was in the midst of that time of the enemy trying to cause me to be offended. I do remember standing there and crying for a little bit and saying, Lord, please work something out. We just finished the cancer and we're going into winter and the house burnt. I got animals here. So as far as I knew at that point, the plumbing, everything, there was nothing left, even it was in the crawl space. And while kicking around in the living room ashes, I found that great is thy faithfulness that I had sung really was true, because there in the ashes was, and you heard me tell it many times, there in the ashes that hadn't burned above that fireplace in the house I bought off your mom and dad, was a plaque that a guy had given me and it hadn't burned and it said, the ways of the Lord are perfect. Well, isn't that something? The ways of the Lord are perfect. And I began looking around the house and saying, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful property you've given me. You know, house left. and started even seeing things different, and the Lord showed up. And then I went out and knelt by the well casing, knelt there. You know where that is. I knelt down out there and over there where the electrical service comes in, and I knelt down and I said, Lord, you said you'd supply my need. I don't know when we're going to get a house again, and I don't know how this is all going to work, but Lord, I need water for my horses today. They're here, and I'm not sure what to do. And I said, amen, and stood up, and Eric Allwine came up over the hill, and the truck said, Climate Makers on the side of it, and he pulled up in the truck, and he walked up, and he said, good morning, Tom, and I said, hi. He said, I was on the roof of a house, and God said, go help Tom Robbins. What do you need? He said, I know your house burned, and I said, I need some kind of electric hooked up so I have water for my horses. He said, oh, I can hot wire your well, your pump, and we can get this thing going. In about 45 minutes, I had water. Come on, somebody. Yeah. The devil wants to get you offended at Jesus. May I say this with a height of sensitivity, please, but receive it. I've seen people go through an ugly divorce. Not, I don't have a person in mind, trust me on that, I do not. I will not preach that way. But I've seen people go through a horrible divorce and they prayed their head off that their marriage would stay together and they went through a horrible divorce. But through it, the enemy got him to be offended at Jesus. Don't jump out in the storm. Hang on. It's worse out there. Don't jump out in the storm. Hang on. He wants to offend you. Unfair. Seeming. Notice I have seemingly unfair circumstances. Unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. Boy, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed on this, and it's just not getting an answer. As the heavens are high above the earth, may I encourage you with this? As the heavens are high above the earth, how high is that? The heavens. They tell us some of the stars that we see twinkling at night, that tiny speck, that they're brighter than the sun. How far is that? For that tiny little spot up there we see at night, for that to be brighter than the sun, how far away is that? As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. When we commit ourselves to Him, when we submit to the potter's wheel that I spoke on 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we let Him carve on us, there's some flipsis. Trials, tribulations, difficulties, and through those conditions, and sometimes it's just product of the cursed world. Sometimes it's trials that the Lord allows us to go into. Sometimes it's consequences of our own making. But the goal of the devil is to get us offended at Jesus. Jesus, if you've been here, come on. We had you over for supper, for heaven's sakes. You told us you loved us. We were your family, your physical family. You remember me, I'm Mary. You Martha there, and she looked familiar. Lazarus, your pal. They called Jesus and said, he who you loves is sick, and he waited 2 days. And he died. Where were you? This is heavy stuff. But sometimes an unexpected trip to the funeral home, an unexpected trip to the funeral home, can offend us at Jesus. I've seen people seal off after an event, and from that time on, they were never open to God again. I've seen it over and over. Don't be offended at Jesus. Sometimes that prayer isn't answered right away. And incidentally, did you know that no is an answer? Pastor Bishop used to say, might as well shake your head this way. No is an answer. People say, I didn't get the answer. No, you mean you didn't get yes. My grandson thought at 6 that he should be able to take the 12 gauge and go, deer hunting. He thought he should. I'm not going to give him 12 gauge. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than his. And I'm not going to give him a 12 gauge. That's way too much for him. But he thought, in his mind, he didn't see any reason why. And Grandpa would share anything with me. Why can't I use the 12 gauge? No, And there's times our prayers are about like that. Sometimes no is what God says. And we got to receive it and accept it graciously, only to find out, Daddy used to say, life's lived for and understood backwards, only to find out later that God knew best. I believe in that so much. I'm telling you, I believe in that so much that when I ask God for something, I always put that, tag that on the end. And some people say that's lack of faith, and I'm not mad at them, but I don't agree with that. I think it's surrender. When I ask God for something, I say, Lord, if I'm asking something dumb here, sometimes you're asking something dumb. Anybody look back 20 years and realize you prayed for something dumb? Yeah. Boy, I've had times I'd pray, you know, that this person would marry this person. And after I got to know him, I thought, oh, Lord, thank you, you didn't answer that prayer. Offended at Jesus, unanswered prayer. Number three, something he asks you to do. And don't get discouraged, because I only got 31 of these. So there's only, just kidding. Just kidding. Something he asks you to give up for the pearl of great price. I did have that up there. Lord, I can't believe you asked that of me. We're offended. I can't believe that you would say in John 6 that I'm to partake of you to this level, that I even participate in the sufferings and some of the difficulties that you went through. And we're offended at what he asks us to do. Something he asks you to endure. And I'm just going to highlight some. I'm going to trust the Lord just to punch me in the back on what ones I'm going to talk about, because I could talk a long time probably about each of them, but I'm not going to. Something he asks you to endure. Oh, boy. Jesus himself, my friend, bowed in prayer the Garden of Gethsemane and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was he saying there? Lord, if there's some other way, I wouldn't have to endure this. Sometimes God asks us to endure something and wait it out that's difficult. Stay true. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it would be worth it. Don't be offended at Jesus. Number five, something he asks you to do that's costly. Something he asks you to do that's costly. I have here the price of obedience. We're talking about being offended. Oh, I can't believe that he asked me to endure that, or that he asked me to do that. The price of obedience. I've had to obey on some. That's supposed to have an S on it. I've had to obey on some things that personally cost me dearly. This is a little sensitive, but I'm going to say it to you anyway. It involves me, not you. The move from Skinner Chapel cost me dearly. It did. But I knew. And I sought confirmation over and over and over. I said, Lord, confirm this. This is going to affect people. Confirm it. Even went to Colorado, fasted. And God gave me direction about the future. Sometimes there's a price tag on obedience, and we can become offended at Jesus. Well, I didn't think he'd ask me that. And my friends got upset at me. I can't believe God let me down. There's a price tag on obedience. And I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I remember one time I started to compromise a little bit in the community, and I was getting some pressure about that move, and a lot of people didn't see it, and I got no axes to grind. I'm not upset at anybody. And that's from the bottom of my heart. If I was going to die in 10 minutes, I got no phone calls to make. But that was a difficult decision. That was a very difficult decision. And a lot of people didn't understand that. I had 30-year friends that didn't understand that. And I compromised at one point, and begin saying apologetically. That's what I mean by in the community when people would say, well, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. Just moving 3 miles and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I started getting on the defensive. And I went on my prayer walk that next morning. And God chastised me. He smote me in my spirit. I had a heaviness I can't even describe. It even made my knees bend. And God said to me, when I tell you to do something, son, you don't go around and apologize for it. And I said, I stand corrected. I am sorry, Lord. When I tell you to do something, don't you go around and apologize for it. There's a price tag on obedience, and sometimes we get offended. Sometimes we don't get applause for what God called us to do. Sometimes he calls you out, do something, the family doesn't think much about it. Some of you are going through that. You know, we got some scriptures we twist around, kind of put in holes that aren't supposed to go there. You know? Now, when Jesus came to earth, it said peace on earth. The angel said peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God came to give us peace from sin and a heart full of peace. But did you know that the same Jesus said that I didn't come to bring peace? I came to bring a sword? That a man's enemies will be of his own household? Well, that shocked us. Was that Jesus? You better look that up. You sure that was Jesus? Oh, he came to give you peace from sin and forgiveness, and ultimately the Prince of Peace is going to come back, and there's going to be 1,000 years of peace, and if you know the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. But on an individual basis, sometimes your own family is a foe to you. I don't like this. You think you're better than everybody now that you go to church. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. They don't like the changes that they see. There is some undeniable proof, and it's not very popular. But there's a price on obedience. I've been asked to obey at times when it costs me dearly. But you know what? God brings all that around. God brings it all around. When God calls you to do something, don't run around and get on the defense and explain yourself to everybody. That's pride. Okay? I can't stand it. Somebody said something bad about me, so I got to run around and fix it all. David said, Lord, defend me. Remember that? David said, Lord, defend me. You spoke to me. You know where my heart's at. And that doesn't mean I did everything right. That doesn't mean we handle every situation perfect. I've gone to people after changes. We've always kind of been in the cutting edge of ministry. We always have. And when you're doing new things, not everybody receives it. And I've gone to people's homes with sincerity and cried and told them I didn't mean to hurt them. I didn't say I wasn't supposed to do it because that's not the truth. I went and said I didn't mean to hurt you, and I didn't. There's a cost with obedience. Don't be offended. And I'm going to read this. Many times we lack the courage to obey. Then we suffer the consequences of disobedience, and we're offended at Jesus, and we blame God for it. I've seen this 1,000 times. We lack the courage to do the right thing. And then we suffer consequences because we didn't do the right thing. And then we're offended at Jesus over it. There's a price tag on obedience. The children of Israel lacked the courage to take Jericho. They suffered consequences of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, offended and murmuring at God. A question I've had to ask myself, Tom, are you going to please God? Are you going to please people or obey God? Are you going to please people or are you going to obey God? Are you going to pull back and protect yourself and play it safe? Or are you going to step out in courage and obey God? Well, I need to wind down. That's the whole list. And I'm sure not going to go through the rest of them. It's getting late. People's lunches burn up. Number 6. Just so you got it in your head, I'm not going to talk on it. Ask to stand alone because of a decision. Sometimes we're offended. God, this wasn't fair. You stuck me, hung me out to dry here, all by myself on this. I'm not going to go into this. Pam's always been a tremendous support. Incredible, incredible support. I'd never make it without her. We're becoming closer as we get older. Don't you be fooled. about how much we love each other. We're just all business in front of you. But I had one time. Pam's always been on board. We made decisions. She'd always pray about it. She's always, what do you need me to do? I'll help you. And she's over painting, or she's doing whatever she needs to do, or she's helping with music. Or she's always been that. That's been a wonderful help. I never made it. But there was one time that she disagreed with me on something, and God kept telling me, this time I'm going to see if you can stand on your own. I'm not going to go into what that was, but there was a decision that I felt like God said, this time, son, I want you to stand with just me and not be insecure and run to anybody. And there'll be a time in your life, and I don't know who this is for this morning, but I got a gut feeling it's for somebody. There's going to be a time in your life when there's going to be decisions you're going to have to make. And then anybody at all agrees with you, but in your heart of hearts, you know God spoke to you. Now, let me condition that. Don't use that for everything, because in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, and you don't just run off and make reckless decisions and say, well, pastor said I could just do this on my own. I'm saying on occasion, there'll be a test come to you where God will test your faith, and he'll say to Abraham, take your son that you've prayed for and waited on and put him on the donkey with the wood and go sacrifice him. And you don't have a vote for the congregation to see if that's the right thing to do. You just know in your heart you got to do it. And there was a time, I remember that, only to find that when I said, Lord, I am committed to do that. You take care of it all. I'm committed to doing that. Only to find that God showed it to her after I made that decision. Sometimes we're offended at Jesus. I'm almost done. When you stand alone. To be severely misunderstood. Oh, I've been there. Mental anguish, loneliness, rejection, misunderstanding. The psychiatrists tell us, I agree, there's all kind of emotional trauma, but mental anguish is loneliness, rejection, and misunderstanding. It is painful to be misunderstood. It's painful to be misunderstood. Your motive to be misunderstood. Don't be offended at Jesus in times of misunderstanding. Be abandoned in a time of weakness where you feel like you're alone. At the cross, they all forsook him and fled. Jesus has been tempted and tested in all points like we have. They all forsook him and fled. His most loyal, verbal, committed man, Peter. I don't know who it is. I never see him. I don't know this guy. Be abandoned in a time of weakness. Number 10, then I'm done. This is a biggie, and I could have a sermon on this, but won't this morning. When we are corrected or chastised, we become offended. We're in disobedience, and God sends people along, or sends sermons along, or sends situations along, or it can come a thousand directions, or just from his word. He chastises us, and we become offended. We become offended. This isn't fair. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he spanks. Lord, spank me when I need it. I say that in my prayer. Spank me when I need it. Lord, I'm a weak, vulnerable guy. So, Lord, I would prefer you to go easy. My prayers are pitiful. I'd prefer you to go easy. If you could just go real easy, it'd be nice. But, and I do this. So if my neighbors say this guy walks around, waves his arms on the road, say, yeah, he does. I say, but, if I won't listen, I'll just act it out in my prayer. Can I do that? But if I won't listen, smack me around. I've done that in prayer many times. Smack me around. I want to stay on track. Too many people out here attend here. You have children that you bring here and you trust us with them. I want to be an example. I want to stay on track. It's worth too much. There's too much at stake. Got to be serious about this thing. But sometimes when he chastises us, we're offended. Yeah, I can't believe. I've given over the years and then this happened. And the Lord's correcting you on a bad decision and chastising you for a choice you made. I don't know all of that. But I know we don't want to be offended at Jesus. I got to close. Yeah, I won't just leave that up there, but I won't talk about it. That's why we make bad decisions. But I am going to close. My heart tells me that's enough. This heavy this morning, it's kind of heavy. Last week was a fun message about my horse. And I think good was done with it. Many of you said it helped you, and I think it was helpful. Today's a little heavier, but it's the real stuff. Don't make it harder than it is. If you see something in your heart where you know you've been offended at Jesus, you know how easy that is to fix? He's anxious to forgive. The story is improperly called the prodigal son. We call it that. The story is not a prodigal son. It's the story of a loving father. The son went his own way and burned up the inheritance, and he saw him a great way off and ran to him. That's who we're dealing with here. So don't go out here and say, oh man, I've been offended in 20 different things he mentioned. I'm so far from God, I'll never get back. All you got to do is say, I've had enough in this cornfield. I will return to my father. And he'll run off the porch and come and grab you. And you'll say, now I shouldn't be back there because I've been offended. And that pastor said that stuff this morning. And I've been offended in all those areas. And I'll just live out in the shed. He'll say, oh, get out of here. Kill the fatted calf and take your room back. He doesn't give you second best. He's anxious to forgive. All right. I said I was going to close 10 minutes ago. Let's stand together for prayer. Heavy stuff, chew on it. Think on it, ask God to speak to you. Lord, thank you for each one here today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for visiting us with your presence. Anything I've said in the flesh, melt it. In the memories of each person, melt it. Only what's been said in the spirit, and I believe a majority of it has been, may that take root. Be with us as we go from this place. Guide us in the service next week. Lay on our hearts who we should invite. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You're dismissed.